Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. Johnny, good morning. First off, congrats on the new gig at the Nashville Post. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Robbie. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on as well.
Absolutely. So, John, obviously a lot of discussion about the Titans draft over the last couple of days here on the show and the selection of Will Levis at the quarterback position at 33 overall. What did you make of the pick of Will Levis, and what does that pick kind of tell you about how they're viewing where this team is right now and kind of the trajectory of this franchise?
Yeah, the way I look at the Will Levis selection is to me, you know, at some point you're going to have a franchise quarterback for the team. So, you know, if you think you have one in your sights, you know, you go get him. And clearly that's what the Titans think in this situation. But at the same time, in so doing, I think they surrendered a lot at helping themselves in the present, you know, and the obvious position that comes up there is wide receiver. You know, they missed out on a lot of wide receivers because of that trade. So to me, again, they're looking a little bit more towards the future, because I don't think anybody expects Will Levis to be the starter right away. You know, everything's going to look great if Will Levis is a quarterback of the future, and they'll say, hey, you know, I understand you guys had to go up and grab your quarterback of the future. Everyone has to have one. If he doesn't turn out well, everybody's going to be looking back even more so than they are doing right now and saying, hey, why didn't we get a wide receiver in the second round? Why didn't we get a wide receiver in the third round? And you know, and why did we end up with Will Levis, who's not necessarily our franchise quarterback?
And we've talked some today, John, about the idea of, well, you could. I mean, if you're, you know, they're going to be decent this year, probably. I mean, I think the receiver room is a real problem. And I don't know how good the offensive line is. It's very different, and I could see a path to the offensive line being significantly better, but I have no idea. So if that's the reality for this team, I've heard some fans who have said, you know, why not just see what you have in Levis? And, you know, in the process, you know, may have a better pick next year. You know, if you're looking at, I don't know, Marvin Harrison Jr., for example. Why not go that route if you're not going to be great anyway? You don't really have a chance. What say you? Do you think there's any consideration of that? Any chance of, like, cutting Tannehill, for example, or trying to move him? I think, you know, trying to move him's a little different. But even just, like, cutting him and saying, all right, Levis, let's see what you got. I mean, the Colts are going with Richardson this year, apparently.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just do not see it. You know, I don't think anybody who's expecting, you know, from all the, you know, what we've seen from Will Levis, from all the scouting reports, you know, there's a talented quarterback there, but, you know, it's a guy that's in need of refinement, you know, a guy who could benefit from sitting, watching a veteran for a year. So I just don't see that strategy. You know, I don't think Mike Vrabel is the kind of guy who says, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, maybe we won't be good this year. No big deal. We'll play for 2024. I just don't see that happening. You know, I think as much as they drafted Will Levis, you know, for the future, I still think this team is going to be one that wants to win in the present. So I would be shocked. And I don't think it does Will Levis any good to be thrown out there, you know, before he is ready. You know, if you want to potentially ruin your franchise quarterback for the future, you know, that seems like a pretty good strategy to me, to toss him in before he is, you know, is ready to go against NFL opposition.
So, John, obviously, as the Titans would say, I'm aware that, you know, today is May the 2nd, and the season doesn't start until September, and there's time to do things here. But I do look at their wide receiver room right now, and you've now gone through the first wave of free agency and the NFL draft, and there's really nobody of consequence that you've added to the room. And you've got Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips and NWI and Chris Moore and Racy McMath, basically, that are on your roster right now. What do you make of, I guess, the current state of the wide receiver room? And if there's not any significant change to it, how difficult in your mind is it going to be for Ryan Tannehill to have an effective season, given what he's working with right now?
Yeah, to me, that was the guy that kept, you know, I was picturing in my mind as the draft was going on and on and on, the Titans weren't picking a wide receiver. I'm just thinking of Tannehill sitting there at home in his recliner going, when the hell am I going to be thrown to this year? because it's, that's absolutely accurate. To me, when the Titans went into that draft, there were two glaring needs on that football team. They addressed the first glaring need at number 11 in the first round. They picked who Peter Skoronski, who, by all accounts should be an excellent player or starter for a long time. The other glaring need, wide receiver, they addressed at pick 228, 217 picks later. A stunner to me. I still think, every year, at this time of year, it looks like there's going to be nobody available, and that doesn't always pan out that way. Inevitably, there are casualties, cap cuts, that kind of thing. Even now, but before we move into the season or depth charts start to get filled, younger guys look better, veterans get cut loose. So there will be some names, I think, that eventually come out there, between the start of training camp. How good are they going to be? I don't know. They're not going to revolutionize the franchise, but I think we'll see more recognizable name or two in the Titans wide receiver room before training camp starts. One that comes to mind, obviously, is Corey Davis, the former Titans wide receiver from the Jets. There is still, even now, a lot of speculation that because of the cap room, he can save the Jets, that he'll be cut eventually. And that would be a solid addition, a guy with experience, a guy who we know can catch passes in the NFL. So that kind of possibility is out there. But still, it leaves me really scratching my head, at the lack of wide receivers picked in the draft. And I think we go back to that, again, to that Will Levis trade. If the Titans had not made that trade, I'm not necessarily saying it was terrible. I understand the need to get a potential franchise quarterback. But at the same time, you give up that 33rd pick by taking Will Levis, and if you had stayed at 42, right, and between the next time the Titans picked at 82, seven receivers went off the board during that time, and some pretty good names also. Jaden Reed, Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt, Josh Downs, Tank Dill, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher, and right now the Titans wide receiver room obviously doesn't look too much better than it did before the draft.
Yeah, I'm sure Tannehill's really enjoyed the last two drafts. Third round, Malik Willis. Second round, Will Levis. No receivers. A.J. Brown traded. Yes. Yay! Yeah, he's really had a heck of a time. So your favorite and least favorite pick for the Titans in this draft, John?
I love Skoronski. I thought, that was my idea going in the draft, that I thought the Titans had to prioritize the offensive line. I would have my mock guy was Paris Johnson. He wasn't there, but I think Skoronski is going to be outstanding. I got to love the fact that here's a guy who, the night of the draft, he wasn't out there, even though he was going to be a top 10, top 15 pick. No, where was he? He was in a Chicago pizzeria eating pizza and drinking beer. That's the kind of guy that the Titans like for the offensive line. So I think, they've got a starter either at left tackle or left guard there for a long time. I think that was an outstanding pick. The question mark certainly has to be Levis, because you don't look at him right now and say, boy, that guy is a guaranteed franchise quarterback to the future. I didn't think there were any awful picks. But again, when you look at the crop of six that they're bringing in, who's the only guy you can guarantee is going to make an immediate and big contribution? That would have to be Skoronski. You're going to get something from the running back. Tajay Spears is going to be complimentary back. Probably Josh Wiley is going to contribute some at tight end. But the other three guys are probably projects, not guys that are immediately going to help. And certainly only, as I say, Skoronski is the only one where you say that guy's going to be in the starting lineup.
John Glennon with us here on Robbie and Rex.
Dowell's wide receiver, too. I know what you're talking about, but yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. John, last thing for you here, and Taylor Lewan kind of put this out there this morning on his podcast, but talking about the fact that he has filed a lawsuit alleging that the doctors/entities who did his first ACL surgery in 2020 did it incorrectly. He's kind of been, hinting towards something like this for a while now on the podcast, but what do you make of that bit of news that Taylor Lewan shared this morning, and what do you make of kind of where he's at right now in the offseason of what his NFL future could look like?
Yeah, it's a, you know, tough situation for Taylor Lewan. You know, on one hand, you know, I'm sure if he wanted to, obviously he can say, you know, the heck with my football career. I don't really need it. You know, I'm making money probably hand over fist with busing with the boys and, you know, and everything else off the field that he's doing right now. But, you know, not necessarily stunned by his announcement this morning because, as you referenced, this is something that he has indicated before. You know, the injury in 2020 directly correlated to the injury in 2022, which may or may not have ended his career. You wonder, you know, certainly if it has at this point, if, you know, he's not getting offers. And the first thought now is, you know, medically, can he even play again at this point? So not a shocker that Taylor Lewan filed that lawsuit, nor is it a shocking that Taylor Lewan felt the need to announce it on Twitter either. We're going to be we're going to be hearing and seeing Taylor Lewan for the next 10, 20 years, whether he plays another down of football or not, I think.
No question about that.
Hallelujah.
John Glennon, our guest on Robbie and Rexro. John, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get into the Taylor Lewan situation that has come out this morning a little bit coming up next. And there are some questions that I have to Joe Rexro about some former Volunteers and where they were drafted. We'll get into all that coming up in the next few minutes as well. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Thanks to John Glennon from the Nashville Post for being with us in the last segment. So, Joe, we brought up some comments that Taylor Lewan made on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. He put out a clip earlier this morning on Twitter discussing something that we've kind of been wondering about and hearing from Lewan for a while now. Here's what Taylor Lewan had to say in regards to his 2020 torn ACL injury in the clip that he tweeted out this morning on his podcast.
I know we're a high vibes podcast. I have to get a quick announcement out of the way. I'm in an unfortunate circumstance where I have had to file a lawsuit against the people and entities that are involved with my surgery from October of 2020. But I want to take this opportunity on this podcast to let all of you know what's kind of going on in my life. Fans that have followed my career, seeing those years before the ACL surgery and then obviously after the ACL surgery, kind of wondering, you know, what the hell is happening with Lewan. But a lot of times there's areas for vulnerability, and I really wanted to make sure that I was able to share this with you guys, because for the last, you know, since 2020, this has been... it sucked. It's been tough, but I would love to sit here and vent and tell you for the next hour and a half how tough of a situation this has been. But the reality is I just can't right now. When I can, I will definitely share more when I'm able to. But like I said, we all know how lawyers work. Hopefully it all gets just figured out and it's all done, and I can speak about it more, because I like people to know what's going on with my career. I love it.
So that was Taylor Lewan in the clip he tweeted out this morning from the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. So Joe, this is not necessarily... you know, that's surprising. He's made some comments on the podcast before, you know, talking about his surgery in 2020 coming off the torn ACL, and kind of alluded to he didn't think that surgery was done correctly and how maybe that led to the torn ACL in 2022 as well. So not necessarily, I guess, surprising there, but what did you make of that clip from Lewan and his announcement this morning that he has filed a lawsuit against the doctors / entities who did his surgery in 2020 after tearing his ACL in October of that year?
Yeah, I figured this was coming at some point. He has hinted at it, and it's obviously just unfortunate that, you know, for people who don't remember, he came back, and, you know, maybe he tried to come back too early, but the timeline seemed to be solid. And of course, in 2021, it was, you know, it was, he was not ready. And then of course you have the tear, his constant kind of issues with it, to another tear, you know, last season that I don't know if it's ended his career or not. Actually, I mean, I know Kaharski has hinted at, you know, another team possibly in Lawan's future, but it's too bad that it came down like this. Like he said, he had the lawyer comment there. I mean, I'll be surprised if we get play-by-play from Lawan on this, yeah. But he's at least made that clear. Someone asked on the text line, you know, is this Titans related? I mean, I don't know in terms of like referrals or whatever, who did the surgery, but usually, you know, that's an outside surgeon. So I don't know that this is, I don't think this is directly related like to the Titans, but I don't know. I don't know that.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, the other part of this is, you know, beyond just the lawsuit part, you know, is he ready to play? Like, number one, does he want to play? Does he want to play in 2023? Number two, is his body in a place where it can physically hold up? I mean, he's talked about, you know, the alleged botching of his surgery in October of 2020, maybe leading to what we saw with another torn ACL last season with the Titans. Has the ACL healed? Will the ACL be completely healed, and will he be ready to go in 2023? Is that a road that he even wants to go down at this point, given what he's doing with bussing with the boys and the money that he's making doing that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to those questions are. But, I mean, look, the part about Taylor Lewan that I think we don't discuss a whole lot, I mean, he's 31. It's not like he's, you know, 40 years old out there. He's a 31-year-old guy, and we've seen plenty of left tackles play well into their 30s in the NFL.
Yeah, and if he does heal correctly from this and it's all fixed, and I don't know how much – the initial bad surgery, I guess, for lack of a better term, would influence that. But if it's right now, then yeah, I would think he would have more football left if he wants it. He's got a lucrative post football career going. Seems to me like if there was an opportunity with a team that was actually a contender, you know, that might be appealing to him. Yep. To be a part of something like that. I've talked a lot about the idea of the Titans coming back and just trying to get him on a cheap deal this year. Seems like, you know, with Dillard signed and now Skoronski, you got two young guys I think will compete at left tackle. Maybe not. Maybe Skoronski just goes right to guard, but seems unlikely that it would be here. So, but certainly if he is all right, then I would think there would be some interest for him out there.
Joe, didn't sound like John Glennon was a huge fan of the Will Levis decision at 33 overall. What'd you make of what John had to say about Will Levis and the decision to draft him and pass on some of these wideouts that could have been available?
Well, it's certainly a bad move in terms of the present. I mean, again, the last 2 years, think of the players you could have gotten at 86 instead of Malik Willis, who could be right now very important, an important football player for this team somewhere, and then this year a receiver or something else that you could have gotten. I mean, your current team, your current roster – would be how much stronger if you made good choices just with those two picks. And of course, you've also sacrificed next year's third now to get Levis after you sacrificed this year's fourth to get Julio Jones. So look, I mean, in particular from the Tannehill perspective, trade AJ Brown, draft two quarterbacks, you know, you draft Treylon Burks, but then this year you wait till the seventh round and take a flyer on, you know, UT Martin receiver who I think is, it could be a nice pickup, but if you're Tannehill, you got to be just wondering, I mean, what the, you know, it's like, be great. You got to be great around Ryan Tannehill was the talk from Vrabel after the loss of the Bengals.
Yeah. And
they have not done that. They have not made moves to do that. They've made moves to try to move on from Tannehill, but Glennon, whatever anybody thinks about Levis, if he turns out to be a great quarterback, then all of that doesn't matter, right?
Right. Now, the question I have in the immediate part of this, let's assume that Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback. The receiving core is basically what it is now. But let's also assume for the sake of this discussion that the moves that they've made on the offensive line work and that Dillard is a good left tackle. Skoronski comes in and plays guard immediately and is really good. You know, you've got Brewer at center, Brunskill at right guard. Petit Frere takes a step forward in year two at right tackle. Let's say we get through training camp and in next season, and it becomes apparent that the Titans have a solid offensive line. What does that mean for Tannehill in terms of, You still don't have great weapons on the outside. We'll see what happens with Treylon Burks. But how much could simply just being protected better help him in his numbers and the Titans' ability to win and move the ball next year?
It's a great question. If you have best case scenario with this offensive line, then pair that with Burks actually starting to look like where he was drafted to be. Chig building on last year. I mean, NWI still, he can catch the ball. Throw the ball to 15. He'll catch the ball for you.
Flea flicker.
Pepper him.
No, I mean, Tannehill just being upright alone. And if the offensive line is good enough that you have also, like, Derrick Henry doesn't have to grind at, you know, like almost a yard a carry less to get to the 1,500 yards, you know. Yeah, I mean, that could still be – that could certainly be a better offense. If you go from arguably worst offensive line in the NFL to, like, middle of the pack, fine offensive line, that is a big difference. There's no doubt.
Yeah, you know, how much of last year's struggles with the offense were traced back to just Tannehill not having enough time? Like, we talked about, obviously, Robert Woods was not very good last year. Treylon Burks was inconsistent and unavailable for half the season. So there's that part of it with wide receivers that are still a gigantic question mark heading into this year. I'm not saying they're not. But how much of the struggles offensively last year were simply that every time the quarterback dropped back to pass, he had about a second and a half before somebody was, you know, turnstiling Dennis Daly and into the back of his shoulder pads back there. Like, if that changes this year, how much different does the offense look?
Yeah, I mean, that's where they start. That's where everything starts. And just going from what Daly did to, again, middle of the pack, decent, fine, is a huge difference.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, what do we make of Hendon Hooker and his fit with the Detroit Lions and some other former Vols that were on the move in the NFL draft as well? We'll get into all that, their fits with their new teams. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, you gave out your winners and losers of the NFL draft earlier. The Detroit Lions, a loser of the 2023 NFL draft in your mind, but they did select Hendon Hooker, quarterback out of Tennessee, at number 68 overall. What do you think of that fit for Hooker? Obviously, he slid down a little further than most people had him going in the NFL draft, slid down to the third round, 68 overall, and ends up with Detroit. What do you make of that fit for Hooker as he prepares to join up with Jared Goff and the Lions?
Well, first of all, anyone going to the Detroit Lions, as anybody who listens to this show at all knows, I immediately feel sympathy for, feel bad for, and feel like the outcome will be negative relative to other potential landing spots in the NFL. Is this fair when it's a different GM and head coach right now and just in the last couple of years than they had previously? Probably not. But I feel like getting lionized is a real thing. Now, and that relates to ownership. If you have bad ownership, like really, truly bad ownership, which is what the Lions have had, then that does happen, right?
Yeah.
That said, here's what I like about it is that I think the Lions have a really good OC right now. I think he's going to be a hit. The problem is he's not going to be there by the time Hendon Hooker is ready to start, but I think that can be a good thing this year for Hendon Hooker. Ben Johnson is a guy who, if you watched any Lions football last year, and begrudgingly I watched a little bit, he's good. He's really good, and I think he's going to be a head coach. He had some looks this year. The Lions signed him to a bigger deal to keep him. You look at what Jared Goff has done in kind of rejuvenating his career with the Lions, I have to give this guy some credit. I have to give the Lions coaching some credit for, one, the design and the schematics of the offense, but also for Goff's performance in particular. So I think this year it is good for Hendon Hooker. As he heals, there's no pressure. You wanted him to go to a situation where there was going to be no screens for, oh, Hendon Hooker, because especially with the ACL. I think I'm with Glennon. I'm a big fan of the rookie quarterback sitting. I don't think it's a great idea for Houston and Indy to have Stroud and Richardson start from day one. We'll see how it goes. You take some lumps and maybe you learn from it and get better from it. But I like the idea of having some time, and Hooker's going to have time. And I think this year with Ben Johnson there, that'll be good for him. After that, they're going to lose Ben Johnson, especially if they're actually good this year and they actually win the NFC North. He's going to be a head coach next year. And then that's the question, is who's next after that. But I do like this rookie year and what it will do for him.
So it's interesting because I look at where Hendon Hooker went. And by the way, there was quite the run on Tennessee players from 68 to 77. In the span of 9 picks, Hendon Hooker, Jalin Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, and Byron Young all got drafted from 68 to 77 over the weekend. So a nice run on Tennessee players there. But I think it's fair to say that Hendon Hooker slid a little bit further down than we thought he would, and Jalin Hyatt slid a little bit further down than we thought he would. Tillman was right about where I think most people had him. I mean, some people had him going a little bit higher, maybe into the second round, but I don't know that I would consider Tillman a quote-unquote slide. But with Hooker and Hyatt kind of sliding down, and Michaels brought it up on the text line, says, could this draft hurt Tennessee's recruiting efforts after recruits see how far Hooker, Hyatt, and Tillman slid in the draft? Apparently NFL teams don't like Heupel's system. This is from Michael on the text line. How surprised were you of Hooker and Hyatt in particular sliding as far as they did?
Yeah, well, yeah, look, I thought Tillman was a second-round pick too, so I'm surprised. I would not have guessed Hooker in the third round at all. And, yeah, all of them. I thought all those guys, really, if you forced me to predict, Tillman and Hyatt in the second round, Hooker late in the first, as we talked about a lot going in the draft. Does it hurt? Let me tell you. Let me promise you something. The other coaches in the SEC and other programs who are vying with Tennessee especially for offensive skill positions, I promise you, they are mentioning. See, oh, yeah. Look at this. You got the Heisman winner as of, you know, early November or late October, arguably, you know, certainly top 5-6 player in college football, and he goes third round. Why? Come to our place. We don't do this stuff that doesn't translate to the NFL. We translate to the NFL. We get people ready for the NFL. Yes, people will use it. Now, so I thought, hey, it would be huge to quiet that for a Hooker to go, you know, in the first round. But now you do have, a year from now, you have Joe Milton. How does he play? How is he evaluated? You know, is it any better with him? Look, I honestly believe, I believe Joe Milton could be, I'm looking right now at another mock draft as I speak, because of course, Dane Brugler, I mean, please get a nap tomorrow, Dane. But Dane Brugler has his 2024 mock out, everybody.
Oh, so yeah, let's get back into it.
Let's do those 2024 mocks, and I'm looking to see if he has my projected number one overall pick, Joe Milton, in the first round. Does not. But that's – so then you have that. You have other receivers who are coming out who I think, you know, I think can be high picks, and you have Nico after that. But you need – one of these guys, and even if it's like, I mean, Matt Corral is a total afterthought, like Matt Corral to go somewhere, man. Like you need someone on some quarterback from the Bryles system to be good in the NFL. I mean, there's one season of it, which is RG3 as a rookie. And it's hard to draw much from that. Of course, he played with the hurt knee, really hurt the knee, but also like, even when he got back, like Cousins eventually overtook him. And you need that to happen to shut this up. Because whether you like it or not, other coaches are going to absolutely – I mean, Mark Stoops, who runs a pro-style offense, he's telling every recruit he can call, look at this. Look at this Tennessee offense. Why do you want to go there? Yeah, you'll score points and have fun, but the NFL doesn't like it.
Well, that's – the interesting part of it to me is quarterback, though, like with Hooker. Like – you know, Michael brings up Tillman and Hyatt sliding, and I get it. Like they went a little bit later than other people thought they would go. But to me, though, like, I think receiver matters less in this discussion. Like Cedric Tillman, right? He can run all the routes. Like, that's what you're looking for. Like, how physical are they? What's the speed that they bring to the table? Can they run the routes? All those things at wide receiver. Like, I think the Tennessee offense is way less of a big deal for receiver than it is quarterback. And they need, like, they need Hendon Hooker to silence some of this stuff. Like, Josh Heupel needs Hendon Hooker to go on and have a good career in the NFL.
Right. No, I agree. Now, I think with Hyatt in particular, it did hurt him. Because, again, if you're a college football coach, you're trying to win, man. And so this scheme put him in a bunch of situations where there's no way to bump him, no way to press him, and he gets matched up with safeties a lot. So, okay, sorry, I'm going to take my touchdowns where he's 10 yards open downfield.
Right.
You know, it's a great scheme. But that was the knock on him, was that he hasn't had to deal with that, with really any physical stuff at the line of scrimmage, and he had the routes he ran were kind of limited. So I agree with you, though. I think Tillman projects as, you know, Tillman is a more well-rounded player, and it's still important for Hyatt, Tillman, either of them, both of them, to do things as a rookie, to be like, see, shut them up. But you're right. It's much more a quarterback discussion. If you're talented enough at receiver, like there's going to be receivers that come out of this offense, do well in the NFL, and I think there's going to be quarterbacks too. Okay. But you'd like that sooner rather than later if you're Josh Heupel, because people are going to use this against him.
Real quickly, Joe, what do you make of the landing spots? Hyatt with the New York Giants, Cedric Tillman ends up in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson and the Browns, and then Byron Young with the Rams. That one could be pretty intriguing with Byron Young.
Yeah, I mean, I like that pick. I like Byron Young a lot. You think about the limited football he's had at a high level and how much he grew in a short period of time at Tennessee. And obviously Tennessee has a fantastic coach in Ronnie Garner. And that's like the flip side of this is, guys, like, if you're a recruit looking at Tennessee right now at that position, at the edge or D-line, yeah. There's going to be more pros coming out of there too, but he's the intangibles of Byron Young are off the charts. And so good for him to go that high. And I think he's going to make an impact with them.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans and the NFL draft. Take your thoughts on that. We'll take a look at some playoff action in the NBA and the NHL as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Speaking of Michelle, make sure you tune in for Chase and Michelle at 10:15. Mike Vrabel joining the program. Michelle had no idea where I was going when
I
said
that. Yeah, I was like, whoa, what are we saying right now?
Mike yes. Vrabel joining the show at 10:15. Looking forward to that conversation with him. You know, he said at the end of his radio interview with us like a year and a half ago, Joe, that, you know, probably not. He was not coming back on. So he's choosing to go on Chase Michelle. I like it.
As long as he doesn't have to talk to us, he's cool.
Looking forward to that coming up at 10:15. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the NFL draft, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Obviously, Joe, this is going to be a long discussion on the Will Levis front as we get ready for the Titan season. But just kind of putting a bow on our conversation from earlier today, your thoughts on where the Titans stand now from Will Levis and how much, not even really what you would do, but what you think they will do in terms of the consideration that they may give to Will Levis being the starting quarterback in 2023. What do you think that looks like?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to consider throwing him to the Wolves this year. I don't. I think that Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback. It's just, look, first of all, there is some urgency. I understand the lack of receiver picks would lead you to question this, but there is some urgency to be at least competitive this year, I think, for a coach who just lost seven straight games. And so I think they're going to try to make an addition one way or another at receiver. Could be a trade. Could be someone they sign. And you got to hope some of the existing guys on the roster are better. And I think that in the building, they don't look at this team as terrible. Now, that brings me to the rabbit hole I just went down during the break.
Oh, cool.
So I'm not going to tell you, you know, the Dane Brugler 2024 mock draft. You know, I'm not going to give too much away. But I'd like you to guess where Dane Brugler has the Tennessee Titans selecting in the 2024 NFL draft.
I will just take a random guess and say at number 7 overall.
9.
You're not far. You're not far. Number 5.
Wow. Okay.
Dane Brugler doesn't think too much of the 2023 Tennessee Titans
based on
his mock draft. Also, some other interesting things from this mock draft. My gosh, Ohio State and Alabama. apparently they have good teams this year.
Oh, good.
But then I went down the rabbit hole, by the way, of, you know what? I need to go back and look at Dane Brugler's 2020, the same exact time a year ago.
Yeah.
And what he had. And I want you to guess who Dane Brugler had the Titans selecting in his 2023 mock draft that he came out with a year ago.
Will Levis.
Ding, ding, ding. No?
That's your guess, too?
Yeah.
I like that guess. But no, at 18, Tennessee Titans, Peter Skoronski.
Nailed it.
How about that? Other items of interest. His top three, Stroud to the Texans, Bryce Young to the Lions.
Mm.
See, I'm with you. I thought they'd suck, too. Will Anderson, 3, to the Jets. I'll keep going. Keely Ringo, number 4 overall, to the Jags.
The Jags would
be terrible. That did not quite happen. And number 5, Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Smith, Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky.
Jeez. It's good stuff.
How about that? I mean, you go through, it's interesting. A lot of his mock draft from a year ago, like Smith and Jigba, Breece, Nolan Smith, Mayer, a lot of, you know, Paris Johnson. I mean, a lot of guys you'd expect. But also interesting, like, here's a guy, Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback from Miami, going 7 overall.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterback thing, Butte also in the first round, which I thought was, like, interesting. But, like, a lot of people thought that a year ago, right? Tanner McKee going in the first round as well as a quarterback out of Stanford. It's really interesting, the quarterback. He's got a few quarterbacks in this year's draft, too. No Joe Milton. It'll be interesting a year from now as we look back and say, wow, Dane, how did you not have Joe Milton going in the first round of that 2024 mock?
Yeah. Well, look, there's always quarterbacks that just kind of come out of nowhere. Like, how many people this time last year thought Anthony Richardson was going 4 overall? Probably not very many people. So how many people?
He was not in his mock.
He was not in his mock.
Yeah.
So there's always quarterbacks that kind of pop up out of nowhere throughout the course of a college football season that end up in the first round discussion. It does feel like there are maybe more candidates for that than usual from next year. Like, you know, even like a, you know, like a JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. Like,
yes.
He's in there. Oh, is he? He's like, there's all sorts of options at quarterback next year that I'm really fascinated to see how many of these guys that we think could be pretty good and go pretty high in the NFL draft actually end up doing that next year in 2024.
Yeah. So I don't want to give too much away, but to your point there. Okay. Obviously Williams and May very high. This is what anybody would expect. Other first round projected quarterbacks at this point. Quinn Ewers.
Okay. Yeah.
How about that one? I mean, I can see it. JJ McCarthy. Okay.
What about Spencer Rattler?
Michael Penix Jr., who, again, like, personally, he was really good for Washington last year. I watched him quite a bit in Indiana. I don't think he's a first-round quarterback, but you're going to see that. I'm not sure on your question. It's a good question, Michelle. No, not in this first round, but that's another guy. And look, and I mean, Milton is absolutely a guy who, and I've actually talked with Dane some about this, you know, because in fact, I asked him the question and he's like, I mean, the talent's certainly there. Like, does he find consistency this year? If he does and he puts up numbers and they win, again, the system, we know what it is. I mean, it works against a quarterback right now. It does. But there's also a huge difference. If Milton produces and leads and does all those things, there's a huge difference in his physical talent and Hendon Hooker's. There just is.
Yeah. I mean, when somebody goes to Joe Milton's combine workout and he throws one 320 yards on a rope, they'll probably fall in love with that a little bit more than they do Hendon Hooker's. Just saying.
You're like, wow, you can throw crossing patterns with Joe Milton from your own 20 into the red zone. That's amazing.
We're going to run a 60-yard crossing route. Be ready for that one. Game two tonight between the Heat and the Knicks in the NBA and the Lakers and the Warriors getting underway tonight, Joe Rex Road. Could be a late night for you, but looking forward to that series.
It is. There must be a nap today because there's not 1 second of that series that I will not take in with my own eyeballs.
Same.
Game one tonight in the second round for the NHL playoffs. Florida taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs and Seattle and Dallas tonight. So some new blood all throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs in round two. You love to see it.
I'm here for Leafs Oilers. I'm here now that the Rangers are out. I'm here for Leafs Oilers.
The numbers would be horrible here in America in terms of like the ratings because nobody would really care. But McDavid, Matthews, the star power. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, Canada would shut down.
Yeah, yes, it would. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. By the way, apparently Jordan Love have just reached a new deal with the Packers. So interesting there. We'll get into that coming up tomorrow as well. Chase and Michelle coming up next. Mike Vrabel joining the show at 10:15. So looking forward to that. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And I was under on my mute.